calls back in the Boss Man Show with Kurt Heelan, ProBasketballTalk.com, the blog, NBC Sports. Kurt, man, how's life treating you, man?
You know what? It's all good. I've been really lucky. You know, everybody around me's been healthy. We, you know, still working, still getting to cover stuff, and actually getting to, you know, hey, getting to write about basketball. Not quite games yet, but getting closer to writing about actual basketball. It's been fun.
Yes, indeed. Now, Kurt, I'll start off with the first of all, the whole campus bubble concept. I know here in Atlanta there was a lot of debate on whether the Hawks should go or not. Personally, I'm glad they didn't go because I didn't want to go personally. but beyond that, I know Lloyd Pierce and Travis Flink wanted to develop the young guys some more. How much thought was given to bringing all the 30 teams to Orlando, and what made us alone 22 rather than 16?
There was serious thought given to all 30. In fact, up until the end, there were some teams really pushing for that. And look, let's be honest here. The reason is money, right? Like, the reason is you can play more regular season games. You can get some of the regional television networks, like the one in Atlanta, which, you know, by the way, all these, you know, you move this NBA schedule around and they're going to do this next year, you're bumping up against Atlanta Braves. You're bumping up against baseball on like 22 networks. But they're, you know, look, they gave it serious consideration and they were trying to find a balance between, look, it's a business, they want to make money, and it just get the, again, the bigger the bubble, the harder it is to maintain, the harder it is to make this whole thing work, the more expensive it is. And in the end, they went with 22 so that they could play some regular season games. But, you know, look, it's not like Washington has a shot really here, right? Like,
exactly.
It's not catching Brooklyn or Orlando, and Phoenix is there to kind of round it out. Like, there are teams in the West that, you know, when play shut down, thought they had a legitimate shot at the playoffs, but it wasn't Phoenix. So, like, this is a way for them to make some money and get some things going. I think it was a balance. And honestly, of the options, I'm fine with it. I mean, I personally would have preferred straight to 16 and just go straight to the playoffs. But I get why they're doing this. This ultimately is about money and making it get a bit, you know. And this is a way they can – the bubble, for all its flaws, is a way to can hopefully control the, you know, the virus and keep it out. We'll see how that goes.
And my friend in Memphis, Coach Jenkins, I feel bad for him, because if I had to play the 8-9 play-in game, I'd be so ticked off, Curry, it ain't even funny.
Yeah, you know what? And I love that team, first off. I love him as a coach. I love that team. Look, John Moran, I think it's going to be interesting, because I don't think, outside of people who are really basketball fans, like people, you know, you and I, and a lot of people listening who watch, I don't think a lot of casual fans realize how good Ja Morant is, man. Ja Morant is all that. Like, he's a special player, and I think a lot of people are going to find out about him, you know, in these postseason, because this is the first time that a lot of people be exposed. But yeah, I feel bad for them, because who's chasing them now? A fully healthy, you know, New Orleans team that's very, not only just has Zion Williamson, but I mean, Brandon Ingram took a step forward this year. They got Drew Holiday. That is a pretty deep team that we kind of thought might make the playoffs anyway. And then they got Damian Lillard and Jay McCollum and a fully healthy. And I don't think people, again, I think people watched the game. That team really needed to get healthy. Without Yusuf Nurkic, they're not the same. Like, they're without that big man who could pass out of the short roll and defend the rim and be the guy they need. They're just not the same. Hassan Whiteside could not do the job. They just got their guy back, and they're good. They're going to be like – so I'm with you. Memphis, I still like their chances because, you know, they're still going to probably get into the play-in game, and they just got to win one or two. But, man, it just got a lot harder because I don't really want to go up against Damian Lillard in a clutch situation. I remember what he did to Russell Westbrook last year.
Yeah, that's why, like, you know, I feel bad for Taylor. I really do. And my friends in Memphis, and I know they're happy about the team over there in Memphis. They got a great young nucleus over there. And really, I think, Kurt, that the Memphis rebuild, I hope, is something happens with the Hawks as well, because struck gold in the draft with Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. and some key veterans around those young players. And I'm hoping that the Hawks can get a little bit older, per se, and have some of the same veteran leadership around John Collins and Trae Young going forward as well.
I think that those are two teams on the rise. Two teams that, in Atlanta's case, I think they jump up into, you know, I mean, there's a few teams I think in the East get a little better next year, but I think they jump up into the playoffs. I like the way they're built. I think Clint Capella is a great get for them in terms of a guy who can really set and roll and knows how to play that's something that Trae Young needs. And the other thing is he's a good defender, man. You can protect the rim. I like John Collins. He's not there defensively yet as a young player, and I'm not, you know, we'll see if he gets there, but Clint Capella is much farther along that curve. So I think that they get a lot better. They could, you know, and I think as their young guys, you know, maybe Cam Reddish develops a little bit, maybe Devon Hunter, maybe they get the 3-and-D kind of wing guys they need to go around Trae, and it starts to come together and they can go get some veterans. But I like where that team is headed, and I really do like where Memphis is headed too. I think John Collins is special. I think that they've got some nice. Brandon Clark ended up being a steal. I didn't think he was good.
Oh, yes,
I liked Brandon,
did.
But I didn't think he was going to be this good, man. I didn't think he was going to be this good. So they're a team I like on the rise too. And, you know, they got some time. The West is the top of the West is pretty brutal for the next couple of years. They got a few years to build up before they got to deal with those guys, and hopefully those guys will fade a little for them.
Now, Kurt, how do you feel that the guys have come back from a pretty much four and a half month layoff? Because March 11th, which is my birthday, is when everything went straight to hell.
Yeah.
you know, so I can't be my birthday ever in life.
So
whatever,
it's your
ever.
Fault. Okay.
Yeah, it's my fault. Right, so it's my fault. So guys couldn't get the gyms in their homes like Mike Conley has, yeah, or get to run or work out. So I think it's going to be who's able to get in shape the most. I feel like this made it more of a wild card because, you know, you still get back in shape, but really 4 months off and then jump back into it, you really don't know. You have the same chemistry anymore. Do you still gel? And, you know, yeah, and guys have gotten older, like LeBron James has gotten older. He's gotten younger these past 4 months. So it could affect those guys come October and it's late September there.
I think we're going to see some injuries just because the ramp up is so short. They've been down, now they're coming back up, and they're going to be pushed to get ready for play. You know, if playoff is it, you know, tournament, it, pretty quick, right? Like, I mean, yeah, they get 8 games, and they're going to get a couple of scrimmages in there, but they're ramping up for the playoffs. And I think you're going to end up seeing a couple guys. You know, I hate to say this, but I think we're going to see a couple injuries in there. Hopefully, nothing serious. But yeah, I'm curious about physically where guys are at, how they come back. You know, some guys are ready. You know, I'm not worried about LeBron. Skinny Nikola Jokic is out there in Denver now. He's lost weight. Like, some guys look good, but there's going to be guys who aren't, and it's going to be interesting to see who plays their way. The other part of that is I did an interview a couple of years ago with Tim Hardaway, senior, the good one, the guy, you know, the All-NBA player for the Heat, you know, back in the 90s. And his thing was, like, it was mental, right? His thing was, like, to use his words, who's going to get the clutter out of their head? I mean, there is a lot going on in the world. There is a lot that are being thrown at these guys. Now they're going to go to Orlando. What team, what players are going to be able to mentally focus on the game? And, you know, which teams are going to be able to have leaders that can get their teams focused? And those teams will have an advantage. And that's a really good question because it's easy. I'm not worried about, like, for the Clippers. I'm not worried about Kawhi Leonard. Like, Kawhi Leonard's a robot. He'll be fine. Like, he's going to go out there and ball, and he'll be great. But is everybody else on that team going to be able to get mentally in the right spot? Or the same with the Lakers or the Bucks or the Celtics or whoever you want to talk about. Like, are they going to be able to mentally get into the right spot to chase this? Or is this kind of going to get in their heads? It's going to be interesting to see because I think that's one of the wild cards that's just really unpredictable. I don't know. I mean, I can take some guess on individual players, but I don't know. How's James Harden going to deal with being in the bubble for 2 months, you know?
Exactly. And I feel like the guys are kind of resenting being in the bubble where they have to be stuck there. They can't leave. Kind of there in like a prep school almost where they can't leave the campus or military school. He's like, we have all these rules. You can't do this, can't do that. And these are grown men who usually run their own show, do what they want to do. Now they've been told what they can and cannot do. I just don't know how guys are going to react to that as well, Kurt. I feel like that's going to be a big factor too. How, like you said, the mental warfare of the whole situation, how you handle it and accept your conditions and play well in spite of your conditions.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting. And I think you're right. You really get at it right there. It's like you're used to having not only just kind of doing what you want, you get to run your life the way you want, but, you know, I want to go out to dinner, I want to go out to the club, I want to go out to do whatever. Like, all that stuff is opening back up, still going, you know, guys are able to kind of start do what they want to do. And this is not that, man. Like you said, prep school's good. I don't want to, man. I mean, 2-3 months in a hotel room. It's a long time, dude. I don't care. I don't care what they, how nice Disney's trying to make that. It's a long time in a hotel room, man.
Man, but you said, and now it's another big question. What happens if an outbreak happens with multiple guys on the team getting COVID-19 or other playing on another team? So what's the plan if players test positive and give it to other players on other teams? Then what happens? Is there going to be a day break, a week break to quarantine these guys and try to or bring in players off the street to replace those guys?
If multiple players, it gets interesting. One player, a couple of – they're prepared for we'll call it a handful of players to test positive. They've set up some – if somebody tests positive, they are instantly taken out of the bubble. They've got some housing set up where they can essentially isolate them in some houses near the Disney property and monitor them. And first off, test and make sure it wasn't a false positive. But on top of that, then those guys spend – 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever it takes for them to test, get a couple negative tests in a row, and then they can go back in. It's one thing if it's one guy, especially if it's, it's the ninth guy on the bench, whatever. If it starts to be stars or it's one team loses four rotation players, that's a very different thing, man. That's a very different problem. And I don't know that we've seen the answer on how the league's going to deal with it, but what they haven't said what the number is, what the tipping point is, how that gets handled when it's multiple players. So I think that's still one of the things out there. Nobody knows. And it is a concern. Florida opened up early, and the number of cases in Florida in general and in Orange County, which is the county mostly around the Disney property, those are way up as well. So, it's just something to watch. Like, the NBA is going to try to create this bubble, but the Disney staff is still coming in and out of that place and everything else, man.
Yeah, that's the part that scares me, because I look at the numbers in Florida, they're rising daily and rising fast. And same here in Georgia, that we opened up early as well. And it's like, I don't think it's going to be a good idea, because, like you said, the Disney staff is still coming in out of that bubble. It can bring in the virus to the bubble, to the players, and infect the players and cause a super spreader event. So it's just, to me, Kurt, it's going to be a crapshoot at best, man, going forward, in my opinion.
And I get why there are players who don't want to do that. If a player has some, there are players out there with Crohn's disease or whatever who have who don't, if I had that kind of illness, I might not take that risk, right? Or if I have a kid, if I'm a parent, when my kid has that and I'm risking getting it and bringing it home, I am absolutely concerned about that. Like, I might be willing to, financially, I might be willing to take the hit personally, not to take that risk. I mean, it's a personal decision for everybody, right? I think it's kind of the same with Black Lives Matter. I think there's some absolutely players who are invested enough in that they might be willing to take a financial hit. I just don't know how many of them that really is versus how many are kind of like think they can use the platform there. Plus, I mean, if things really went sideways and there was no, if a lot of players didn't want to go, it's not just this season that's in jeopardy. The whole CBA gets ripped up, and then I don't think you want to renegotiate. If you're players, man, you do not want to renegotiate that in the pandemic. So I think you're going to see guys go forward, but there are guys who aren't comfortable, and there are guys who are just simply not enthusiastic about this, but will probably do it for the greater good.
Now, you kind of led me to my next point. What is the NBA going to do about the Black Lives Matter protest and the movement for racial justice? So what is there a plan going forward in the bubble for guys to use their platforms to make more people aware of what's going on in the country right now?
That is still being negotiated. What's going to be done, allowed, I'm not even sure what the phrasing is there. It's the players union and the NBA are negotiating that right now and bringing in some other players to talk about it. I'm not sure. I think Avery Bradley had a really great point the other day, which is, we've gotten past the point where wearing a t-shirt or even taking a knee during the anthem or any kind of symbolic gesture is enough. Like, what's the action? What are you doing that's going to make a concrete change? What are the owners going to do that makes a concrete change? And I think that's an absolutely legitimate position to take and question to ask. And it's the time to use that leverage to get something done. So I'm not sure what that's going to be. They're supposed to be announcing that, you know, they're working on it. So next week or two, I don't know. We'll see when that comes out. But I think that it's a really good point that if you're trying to leverage actual action, you're going to have to do that now, because once the games start, I'm not sure you can leverage it the same way.
I'm with you there, Kurt. I'm with you there, especially when you're getting that bubble, you're stuck there. That's what you can do. So they make your impact now before you get there for sure.
You can do stuff. I mean, you can talk about it and you can use your platform to promote it. But once you're in the bubble, actual physical action becomes harder. And so what can you do? What can you get the league to do to take concrete steps? And that's, I think, again, I don't know what that's going to be. And I know that they're negotiating it, and I'm not just going to take guesses, but I think that pushing for that kind of concrete change is important right now.
Most definitely. Last one I got for this, Curry, is kind of goes into off season right here. What's the word on what the cap will be for the next season? How it's going to be smooth again, or we going to artificially inflate it like we did with the Warriors guy Kevin Durant and made everybody go crazy? Yeah. So what's going to go on with the cap, man?
Yeah, I think that lesson stuck, right? The we're just going to throw it out there, and you know, it's not just Kevin Durant. I mean, you got to remember, not only did people remember Kevin Durant going to the Warriors out of that. Timofey Mozgov got paid that summer.
Yes, he did. $16 million a year paid.
And a whole bunch of other guys who had no business getting paid got paid. I mean, those 2016 contracts are brutal. So I think the lessons were learned by the teams and the players there. I will say this. What I know is that it's still being negotiated, that they don't want to do – nobody wants to see the dip that would come if they just played it out, right? If they just we're just going to keep using the formulas we've got, because what you'll get is, remember, it was supposed to be about 114, 115 million, the cap next year. It'd be below 100, close, you know, maybe down to closer to 90. They don't want that kind of dip, because you take a bunch of teams that are not paying a luxury tax right now and suddenly make them luxury tax teams, and they don't want that. And then it would, again, spike right back up within a couple of years when the revenues start to return. So you're going to see some kind of smoothing. Exactly what that's going to look like. The salary cap's going to dip a little is what we're hearing, but they're going to kind of artificially inflate it now and then smooth it out a little over a couple of years after that, so it doesn't kind of bottom out. It doesn't make kind of a big V and just spike, you know, dip down and spike back up. They're going to try to smooth that out a little bit, so it's it probably goes down a little from the 109, but probably not, or certainly doesn't climb up to the 115, but it's not, they'll smooth it out for a couple of years over that. We'll see. It's being negotiated. We'll see what that number exactly works out to be, but they're trying to find a middle ground. And part of it is that they don't know what the revenues will be next season, because when are we going to get people back in the buildings?
Got there right.
Yeah. I mean, even if you start the games in December, I doubt in all market, in every market, you're going to be able to get people back. So they're just not, and that's still 40% of the league's revenue. So nobody's quite sure what this is going to look like. It's probably going to take a couple of years to get back to quote unquote normal. So we'll see what it looks like, but I expect smoothing this time. And I keep hearing that because everybody learned from the last time. They just, you know, nobody really wants to go through that one again.
And Kurt, I don't think that, well, you know, me personally, I'm going to say personal story here. I don't know if I'll be back with the Hawks, because, you know, I have asthma and I'm not interested in being in State Farm Arena with a bunch of people and I have asthma, you know, so I'll just be honest about that. And I haven't really heard what the media plan is for the bubble either, because, you know, we have to cover the league, but what's the plan for the media now? I haven't heard that plan either for the Hawks going for next year or for the bubble.
I've heard the media plan for the bubble. That's out there if you want to research it. I don't know if your listeners want to listen to the inside the baseball bubble looks like for the media. That's out there if you want to text me, or you just Google it. It's out there.
Yes.
I've known for a while, but it's now public. I don't know though, you know, how they're shrinking it down. Like, because the Hawks aren't in the bubble, I don't know if Atlanta people, you know, like, I don't know if they're going to let people in from it. Like, they're trying to keep the bubble small, so I'm curious how they're going to handle some of that stuff. And when you get to a team like, I don't know, the Lakers with six beat writers, like, you don't really want all of them? Like, where are you going to draw the line?
Yep.
So it's going to be interesting. And then the next year, who the heck knows? That seems like a life away to me.
Well, you know, it's funny. They asked me, they said, JR, are you coming back next year? I said, the virus would determine that, and my asthma determines that. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Honestly, I can be.
Yeah, I think we're all kind of there in some sense. I feel really lucky to still have and be doing a job I love, because I know that I know so many people in this business, and I'm sure you do too. I mean, there's a lot of very good people not getting paid right now and out available on the market. Just phenomenal, in my case, just writers that I wish I had the budget to hire and bring in, because there's some great people out there that, you know.
Well, I'm going to
say media companies are getting hit too. Everybody's getting hit. Teams getting hit. Media companies getting hit. Everybody's getting hit.
I'm going to say this, Kurt. You and Dan do a great job with Pro Basketball Talk. Tell my listeners, I'll tell them to check you guys' blog out, because you want NBA news every day, the truth. You go there, it's unbiased. You all just tell it like it is. That's why I tell my listeners to go check you guys out. I'm glad to have you on the show again. I'm glad that your family's safe, Kurt, and I hope to see you down the road, man. If we get this world back as normal again, we can go back and travel and cover games and finals again, see everybody at the All-Star weekend like we did in Chicago this year.
I look forward so much to that, man. I can't wait to get back. Next time I see you at one of those places, I will take you to the. I will take you and buy you a beer, my friend.
Thank you so much, Kurt. I would love a Corona, man. I love Corona beer, but not the virus.
I hear you.
Dude, hey, man. Thank you as always, Kurt, man. Have a great day, buddy, and be safe, man.
You too. Take care.
All right, it's Kurt Helin on the Boss Man Show.
Sally Beauty's new all-in-one hair color kits make it easy to color your hair at home. Get everything you need to color for beautifully radiant results. Loved by professionals, open to everyone. Sally Beauty.
All right, folks, back here on the Boss Man Show. My man's Bones, back from a hiatus, but we're going to take a different route if we get to the Florida Boss Report. We're going to start off with a real life segment with people. And Bones, who has had you on, lots happening in the world. The pandemic's gotten worse. The economy's gotten worse. And more blacks are getting killed by white officers. Worse. Just one took place last Friday right in my own backyard, about 20 minutes from my home, in a Wendy's I've been to before. And what are your thoughts on the world, man, how the world has changed, and where do we go from here, man?
Man, you know that saying, where they say you can't go anywhere but up if you're already down. So the world's on fire, man. The world's on fire. I don't know how people are going to pull out. Because when people protest politely, when they protest nonviolently, they get crapped on. When they protest out of frustration and break stuff, people call them animals and savages. So they're really, it's kind of hard to say where we go from here, because, you know, all avenues are being exhausted and still nothing's getting done.
Most definitely. They want you, they want to tell you how to protest, which means don't say anything at all, pretty much. Like, oh, no, we don't want you to silently protest. We don't want you to peacefully protest. We want you to be loud and protest. We'll just take it. Take what we give you and deal with it that way. And I think that time is up now.
Yeah. Everyone says that, you know, the most, you know, the best way, I guess, is to start voting and get out there, man. Don't listen to these fools that say don't vote. No, you should vote and get these fools out of here. Get McConnell out of here. Get Trump out of there. Get all these idiots there who are fascist, racist, dictators out of here, and put people in there who actually are human beings with compassion and knowledge, who believe in science, who believe in people as all encompassing as one. So, no, you should be voting out there. I mean, we had a talk down off air about celebrities saying don't vote. No, that's nonsense to me. It's not the quickest way, because, you know, it's still a ways away, the elections. But you got to go out there and make your voice heard through the ballot, man, and get these jokers out of here.
And I'm going to put it out there. People like Diddy, who said we're going to hold the black vote, Charlemagne the God, who's an imbecile, talking about Joe Biden have a black agenda, Angela Rye, Jeff Johnson, Ricky Smiley, T.I., Killer Mike. You know what? You know what they have all we have in common, Bone, that we don't have in common with them? They're rich.
Mm-hmm.
So you can how are you gonna tell me what to do, a middle class individual, when you're rich, living in your lush private neighborhoods? If it's Trump or Biden or whoever, not Trump, you're gonna be good.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about who gonna hold the black vote? What's the black agenda? Please, only one president had a black agenda. That was Lyndon Baines Johnson back in the '60s to pass the Fair Housing Act, Voting Rights Act, Civil Rights Act in the '60s. So when I hear this whole line, the black agenda, I'll say one person that had it was him. So let's stop that nonsense either. But Joe Biden has a black agenda on his website, Boom. And Ricky Smiley, Jeff Johnson, Angela Rye, Charlamagne the God, Diddy, Killer Mike, who's a Bernie bro, who told people in 2016 not to vote, T.I., who's tongue calling Atlanta Wakanda. I mean, did they not read before they speak and blow away? Because unfortunately, Bone, unlike me and you, celebrities drive how a lot of black people think.
Yeah.
And their misinformation can cause others to get disenfranchised or get unmotivated and not vote. Because they are bloviating because they're rich and it don't really matter who's in office. They're rich and have money. It don't matter.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I agree that, I'm neither rich nor poor. Like you said, we're, a middle class type dudes. You know, we have to work for everything we get, and we're not sitting on stacks like they are. So it's easy to say, to not vote, or easy, to sit in your ivory castle and just say, don't do this, don't do that, because they're gonna be all right regardless financially, So I agree with you. I think, it's not quick. It's not a fast process. It's a long game. Because everything happens, in the fall, but you have to start getting boots on the ground to start lobbying for causes that mean well for all of people, and the only way you do that is like get out there and voting, man. So all y'all out there who are saying don't vote and abstain, you're hurting your own cause in the end. You're hurting your own people's cause, actually.
And speaking of voting, Bone, I'm going to lay something out for you. Okay. This is to my white friends who have since found Jesus the last 3 weeks and kind of see what we're talking about now. You got to be, you can't say you're not racist. You have to be anti-racist. And you got to be anti-racist in every facet. You can't speak on stuff and have a voice and go in that booth and vote Republican, because guess what? Ain't nothing gonna change if you vote Republican. Now it's right and wrong now. You gotta put your politics aside. If you're talking about want to be right, everybody be equal, because Republicans don't believe in that. They believe in power and money and greed. And people like me and Bone don't matter. So, to my Republican white friends, conservatives, did you talking about you're not racist? You understand that? You open your eyes up, but guess what? So you got to be that way when it comes to policy too. You have to not be racist when it comes to policy. You have to be anti-racist and say, hey, my ideology is kind of Republican, but if I want equality for my fellow brothers, I got to vote Democratic for a while here to enact the change I want to see. So, Bone, it's not just Senate now. You have to do it with your vote too, and not vote how you typically vote if you really want to see change that you obliviate to your black friends to prove you're not racist right now.
Absolutely. I will say that I have been blessed. I think I come from a unique circumstance, being a black American. And I grew up and was raised in a town that was 99% white up here in Jersey. It's definitely a Republican town. It was an Irish Catholic, Italian Catholic town. And I have old friends that I grew up with. I never had any overt racism in my face. To me personally, I think because of my family on my mother's side, we had a very good standing. My grandfather was the first black auxiliary police officer in my hometown. A lot of people knew us, and we had a lot of respect and some sway in our town growing up. So I was thankful in a way that I didn't have the overt racism in my face. Of course, there were instances where you look back now and think, damn, that was racist as hell what I went through, or what I saw. But I'm saying that from my personal experience. I didn't have much in my face. But that being said, it's good now to see that I do have some allies, people that I grew up with in that white town. And they are allies. And they may have grew up Republican, but they're now, I guess, say, quote unquote, woke. And they're now seeing the atrocities to our people. And they are now standing at my side. They're now fighting with me. They're now getting a voice out, you know, on social media. Facebook has now, since the pandemic, everyone now is on Facebook again, you know, so, you know, everyone's having their opinions out there on social media. And I will say that my white Republican friends, they're out there, not all, but there are some out there that actually are fighting the fight with me. They are out there marching with Black Lives Matter protests, and I'm proud of that. And now the town that I reside in, you know, I live in Montclair. And anyone who knows New Jersey, Montclair is probably the most liberal town in America. So there are BLM signs all over the place, you know, white and brown people hand in hand. And that's what we need. We need our white allies. You know, and regardless of what you vote or what party you carry, you have to be a human being first. You have to see atrocities and injustice and systemic racism in our society. You have to see it. And if you don't, I can't really rock with you. But I'm glad that we, like you said, we do have white allies and Republican friends on our side that are now seeing this as we're human beings, and you got to fight for your fellow brothers and sisters out there.
To my white brothers and sisters, I need two things from you, and it don't cost a dime: your voice and your vote. It don't cost you nothing. I just need your voice and your vote to make this thing change, because black people only make up 13% of this nation. So it's gonna take you all to help. For to say change, it can't be us by ourselves. We don't have enough voting power to do. We need your voice and your vote. You have to hold your fellow white brethren accountable when they fall off the line and get into that racism. You have to be anti-racist with your voice and your vote and meaning, because those two things are free and can help us overcome 401 years of systemic oppression, institutional racism from white supremacy, Bone.
Yeah, and I always wonder, why is that so hard or so controversial to be anti-racist? Why is that a problem with some people in this country where they have a problem with Black Lives Matter and they have a problem with the movement? Because the movement is about being anti-racist. So why do you have a problem with anti-racist unless you really are truly a racist and a bigot?
Exactly. You gotta be anti-racist with your voice and with your policy. No. There's no in between here. You can't wedge it. And to my white friends who feel like you should only worry about one issue, no, we can cover everything at one time. This is the third Reconstruction here. Average Reconstruction out of the Civil War. The Civil Rights Movement was Reconstruction. Now we have a third one. We can cover every issue, whether it be systemic oppression, this is racism reform, the economy, voter suppression. We can cover all of it right now. Police brutality. We can cover it all. We can't just focus on one thing. You can't change. It's uncomfortable, my white friends. It's gonna be uncomfortable. It's not gonna be comfortable for you. But you have to put on your big boy straps, like we've done all these years, and fight with us. If you really are about change, and you love the Lord, and you're a Christian person, and you love God, well, help us. If you do things, and I raise them with your voice and your vote. And you'll believe you're real. And if you do that, I believe it's blowing hot air up my ass. And I'm not going to rock with you like that.
Yeah, and just know that there's never a convenient time to protest. You know, there's never a convenient time for this stuff. You got to fight back, man, at all times. Like you said, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be a long fight, but you can't. If you're all in, you're all in. Don't half step.
Yeah, and my last point, Bone, is, two points. I got to go before you get segment. Bone, I'm tired of my white friends trying to make me go with this. It's, all cops aren't bad. They're bad cops and good cops. They're bad white people and bad black people. Stop that. Stop that. We're not playing both sides, okay? We're not doing that game. One black man that killed a white woman in Minnesota as a cop, he's in jail. You know? So we kill one of y'all, you in jail. I'm not doing that both sides game. We're going to hold you accountable. I don't have power in this country. You do. You're the whites. You're white. Yes, white privilege is real. I know some of your white people get defensive when you hear that, but yes, white privilege is real. Okay? Me and Bone have to look over our shoulders when we go out and get pulled over or go into a store. And me and Bone's biggest problem is not really white men. It's white women. Because if they say they weaponize that whiteness against us, me and Bone could be dead. Yes. Or if you call the cops on me and Bone, that could be our it for us. One call. So you can be done. Mr. Brooks. Mr. Brooks. Sleeping in his car at Wendy's. Ended up dead. Yeah, I don't want to hear about he ran, took a taser. He wasn't a threat anymore. He was running, he was fleeing.
Yeah.
You have his information, you have his car, you can find him. He told you he was probably going to his sister's house. He told you where he was going, you could have found him.
Yeah.
It could live fight another. So I'm tired of my white brethren talking about both sides is good and bad on both sides and good cops. And I don't want to hear that crap, Bone. And also, white privilege is real. Quit running from it. It's real. You have it. Your skin color saves you. Before you get started, you are by being white, you're good. And to my white friends who say that I don't see it because you're not privy to it. It's very nuanced. We know it, but you won't know because you're not privy to it. That's why. That's why you don't see it, my white friends. I don't see it. I said because you're not looking for it. You're not conditioned to deal with it or see it. It's very nuanced. You don't deal with it. When you live in your bubble, Bone, and they never know. When they're in that bubble, Bone, they will never know, man.
Yeah. Now, and lastly, when we talk about this, you got to know that the white privilege is real, okay? There's no disputing that. I don't understand why people dispute that because it's not in your face overtly. It doesn't exist. No, it is. You know, white privilege is real, even if you don't feel it. And the thing is about white privilege is not saying that your life is easy because you're white. We're saying that you already have head starts on making your life easier because you're white. We're not saying you don't have tough times, too. We're saying that your times are not as tough off the bat because of the color of your skin. And that's what white privilege really is. If you have almost a head start in life. That's all we're saying. We're not saying that your life is easy because you're white. It may be easier, but our lives are harder off the bat because of our skin color, because of our pigmentation, and that's a fact.
And you ain't got to worry about the cops killing you at a moment's notice.
Or even, even the smaller sense of going into a store, to the mall, and not having someone follow you around because you're black. Or hop in an elevator and see someone clutch your purse because they think you're a monster. Or walking your dog down the street, you know, as any other citizen will do, and people are scared of you and cross the street with you. They don't understand that. And I hope they see that. I would hope that they understand this. I know my allies, my white allies, they know it, they see it, and they feel it, and they're there with me. But so many others who think that is not a privilege, they got to wake up.
And Mark Cuban wrote an article about white privilege on ESPN.com. Greg Popovich has talked about it as well. Steve Kerr discussed these are three prominent white men. Stan Van Gundy, and the fourth one, has talked about it. Rick Eisen, the fifth one, has talked about it.
Yeah.
Mike Florio, a sixth one, has talked about it. Six powerful white men our name have discussed white privilege.
Yeah.
But you want to deny and get defensive about it. It's not white guilt. It's just telling the truth.
Yeah, it's just facts. It's not an opinion. It's facts, folks. It's facts. It's happened to us for so long. So please, either get on or get run over because the cause is coming. The movement's coming. And it's not going to stop. So either be on the right side of history or be left behind.
You got that right. Bone closed it out very perfectly. We're going to take a short break and come back with the boss report after the break.
How do you feel about your office? Is it just a space for your company? Or is it a space to help you grow your company? From new HQs to satellite offices, with WeWork, you can find a space that works for you. Visit we.co/spacematters to learn more.
Folks, back on the Boss Man Show. Heavy last segment with Bone and myself, but now we're going to have some fun. Go to Florida. Bone, I know it's been a while for you, man, but did you miss hearing the wildest goes on in Florida, my former home state?
Yeah, I missed it. I mean, I purposely stayed away from the news. Because I wanted to hear these stories firsthand so I could have the shock value, you know, effective. So I'm glad that I didn't listen to you for a while. So now I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be shocked. I'm ready to be pleased by all stupidity.
Yes, indeed. Well, folks, you've been waiting on it for about a month. It's time for it. It's here. It's the Boss Report. Oh, Bone, what would it come back for you? Naked Florida man attacked flea market coin machine, then an employee with a bat, stole car, tried to kiss an elderly woman, peed on a woman's donk at the Quickie Mart, that's what it says, threw brick at another man, arrested with gun, ammo, and stardust, faces 19 charges, and he was a black man.
This is all on one charge? Or it's all one evening?
Yes, all one guy, a black man. In Florida.
Damn. He was a tornado. He went through all the gamut. He went through everything. And did you say that he had a pee on the girl's booty?
He did, at the Quickie Mart. Said, quote, you packing, baby. That's what he said to her. Quote, you packing, baby.
You packing, that's funny. You packing, but... Okay, so if a female is packing, the best way to impress her is not to pee on her booty, man. How do y'all pee on her booty and try to get that? Like, I always tell you, like, what is her end game? When these fools, like, cut off their junk, or when these fools, like, do something that dumb, what is their end game? Do you think y'all pee on her booty and I get her number now?
Exactly. Yes. It gets worse. This is another black man that I'm telling you about, Bone. Tampa, Florida man arrested the burning down gyro restaurant because they didn't have his favorite meal. And after he burned the place down, he cut his junk off and said, now what? Suck this.
Yeah, now what? Now what means you don't have a penis. So, now what for you, sucker? now you're not eating any food and you're happy. So yeah, now what, sucker? What are you saying? What are you saying? Who are you trying to prove it to?
What is wrong with these guys, man? These are two black guys, man.
I can't believe fool. I don't want to generalize and stereotype. Usually, the Florida Man news is of a different persuasion. So
yes.
I am shocked and disappointed that these first two our news outlets have come about our people.
Yeah, disappointing. And this is not one. It's getting back to normal now. Florida man lets 12-year-old girl drive a Jeep 85 miles per hour to be a quote cool father. Get this, he ain't even her dad. He met her randomly at Walmart.
Oh my
gosh,
so he's trying to be her daddy.
Mm-hmm.
That's nasty. I mean. Who's trying to impress a teenage girl?
Yes.
A teenage girl, man. I know then what. I know what he's trying to angle for. Ew, man. And you're Jeep at 85 miles an hour?
Yep.
And you let a teenage girl drive your Jeep. And these Jeeps, man, all it takes is like one quick jerk of the wheel, and that Jeep is rolling over and rolling over and over and over and over. Like, what are you trying to, I mean, I've been trying to accomplish, and it's disgusting. But that
wouldn't
help.
Man, yes indeed. Yes indeed. And man, it's terrible. Florida man on beach during a pandemic finds four large bags of weed in the sand, turns into a lifeguard. Wow. Thought he'd keep it for himself. He's in Florida.
He turned it in, huh?
Yeah.
He wins the award for a good dumpster. Yeah,
you say
four bags?
Four bags that we found in the sand on the beach in Florida.
My man had the Nate Newton hookup. He just gave it away, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man. I'm not saying pro drugs, but, you know, four bags of weed, you know, and you're in Florida, to me, that sounds like a party. Like,
that's
why,
a come
why
up.
You turn that in?
That's a come up in Florida. That's a come up, man. Like, man, oh, man. Florida man and deputy sheriff warn about the dangers of children consuming drug-laced candies from convenience stores.
Drug-laced candies?
Mm-hmm.
At convenience stores?
Yeah.
That's real convenient. What? And what happens to you? I mean, I always locked up, right?
It's not.
Not. Why?
That's a good question.
Lord, you're wild, man. I miss you, Carter. For real, I miss y'all. That's wild.
Yes.
That's a real thing.
Yeah. Even wilder. Florida man is arrested after shooting up Popeyes after Uber Eats order did not give him any napkins, forks, and sauces with his Uber Eats Popeyes. So he shot up, went in there and shot the place up, not giving him what he needed from his Uber Eats order.
He shot it up because he didn't get a napkin.
Some barbecue sauce and some filling fork boys with Cajun rice.
I'm going to say this, knowing that my son sometimes listens to this podcast. He called me the napkin hoarder, because wherever he goes somewhere, I'm always hoarding extra napkins. So he would probably think that was me shooting places up, because I love
and
my
napkins. And it was a black man too, Bone. It was a black guy.
I love these napkins, bro. So I kind of understand where I'm coming from. Especially Popeye's. You know, he got the bits of the greasy, fried the greasy. Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying he's wrong, but I would go that far.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Oh, man. Florida man attacks non-Florida house guests from Michigan after being upset they showed up at his house unannounced and naked.
Oh, well, see, if unannounced alone you can sometimes get people beat down because, you know, privacy matters. You know, nobody just come in your house, you know what I'm saying, out of the blue like that. But then to come out of the blue naked, man. Yeah, you might get smacked down a little bit. You might get a little smacked down. I mean, who's showing up your door butt naked on your front porch? what's going on with that? Who does that?
Michigan people are going to Florida, obviously.
they must have thought, hey, I'm in Rome now. You know, when in Rome, just get butt naked.
Man. Oh, my goodness. Florida man... Fiance smeared dog poop in his face during an argument after he couldn't get it up during adult session.
So he smeared dog poop.
No, she smeared it on his face. She did.
Oh,
yeah,
on his face. She's really upset, huh? I guess he wanted to throw down. And he's like, if you can't, you know, do a doggy style, have some doggy. I thought doggy poop on your face. Man, what is wrong with people?
Exactly.
Oh my goodness. So she was really upset, man. That she was really hurt by that.
Man.
So what's he doing with the agent? Did he do anything?
No, he just took it. Called the cops.
He just took it. I mean, how did that call go? Like, you're making that phone call to the police. You're saying, I got in my face, my girl.
I got pushed by my chick with dog crap.
Hey, man. I mean, I'm not telling my boys ain't that story. My boys didn't have that. I'm not telling my boys that story, man. No, I'll keep that story my grade, man.
Exactly. Florida postal employee arrested for trespassing at Mar-a-Lago and smearing bananas, baby food on cars parked there in protest of that jackass that owns it.
Ha! Baby food?
And bananas, yes, on cars parked there.
I mean, I'm not saying, you know, the property is a good thing, but, you know, if you're down there with that fool, then you're obviously a supporter, so, you know, whatever happens to your car, happens to your car. I mean, if you're going down there, and you know that dude is not popular at all, and you know you're supporting that dude, you got to know that there's going to be some repercussions coming your way.
Got there right. Oh, God, just another story's going to throw us off. Florida woman arrested for smearing her poop all over park grills and tables 7 years birthday party because the baby daddy did not show up.
For the baby daddy? That's why
he died? Yeah, he didn't show up, so she smeared home poop on grills and park tables at the birthday party for 7-year-old girl.
You gotta know that the dude probably ain't showing up, right? You should already know who you're dealing with. You should already be like Denny Green. He is who I thought he was. So you probably should already know that you was showing up, right? So you shouldn't be that upset. But the fact that you are upset, okay, I get it, cool, you're upset. You know, because he's letting his daughter down. But to smear poop all over the equipment,
Now no one's using it. Now you're not using it. And you are, you're nasty. But now no one's using it now. So you kind of bit off your own nose by your face. So I don't understand the process in your mind.
Oh, this story's going to throw you off. This story's going to throw you off for sure. Florida man arrested after putting a wife in ankle locker. She blew her ass out while he did doggy style. So he put an ankle locker. But she farted in his face while he did the doggy style. He put an ankle locker.
Well, let's just say that she's already in position for the ankle lock. You know, so the ankles are right there, and the ankle is already easily acceptable. So you're already in position for ankle lock. I'm not advocating violence on women, but if you're going to blow my face, man, look, man, I've never had it happen. I never want to have it happen. And if it does, I'm not sure how I react, but I would guess that I'll probably react closer to what that man went through.
How about you warn me it's coming? How about you had to feel that? You had to feel it. How about say, hey, let's take a break. Something.
Yeah. I mean,
yes, so far I had missile out.
Yeah. If you're the woman, I mean, you probably know it's coming. I mean, you probably feel it rumbling in your belly. So you gotta let homie know. Hey, bro, let's take a five for a minute. But you're coming, man. You're common courtesy. It's common courtesy. So ankle lock, I get the ankle lock. I get it.
Oh my God. It gets better bone. Florida man knocks out passing turnstile ones with Stone Cold Stunners, bats, and steel chairs for service being too loud while you trying to sleep.
the girl passing Stone Cold Stunner. Yeah, there are fails in the church. I don't know why guys go to that move all the time. It's either rock bottom or a Stone Cold Stunner in church. Is that like a church move? I don't understand why that move is always. It's a copyrighted. It's a church move only. Stone Cold Stunner and rock bottom. You know what?
And bats and chairs.
Yeah, and chairs. And still, chairs are always in place. It's not a church thing, man. That these cats are always getting Stone Cold Stunner. I mean, that must be a church thing. I don't know.
And this guy was black, too, who did it. Who took him out? Yeah. He was black.
My goodness.
he got 17 charges because he attacked 17 people.
Wow, man. That's a long day at church, man. I mean, these people are against steel chairs and stunners and bats on your head. This dude went a little too far. I mean, he must have been really cranky. He must have been really cranky. That's long, man.
My man cleared out the whole church.
it was kind of like in the 80s when you watch Battle Royals, and like it's like 30 men, right? And like the first 29 are in, and all of a sudden the 30 guy is Andre the Giant. And he just comes clearing the whole ring out by himself, you know, pretty much. That's what it was.
Man. Hey, this crossed my mind bone when it happened to me. But I'm going to tell you a story. Florida man arrested for cashing dead mom's social security check. I swear to you, Bone. I thought about cashing my mom's check. She died on a Tuesday. That check came on a Thursday. I swear to God, I thought about cashing that check, but I knew I did. I was going to jail.
Yeah, man. It's what's happening. You know, I'm not going to say it's a good thing to do, but sometimes, you know, times are hard, man. Some people just need that check, and they're not thinking right, you know, because, you know, and if that check has a comma in it, then you really be like, wow, man, that comma looks pretty nice right there, that check. You know, kind of tough. You know, I'm late on all my utilities. But, yeah, you don't do it, y'all. Do not do it, because the man will always find out.
Yes. While looking for his frisbee bone, a Florida man was bit in the face by an alligator.
Damn, that's it? That's the whole story?
Yeah, that's it.
So that's like a Tuesday in Florida, man. Right, isn't that? Some people always mess around with alligators and get caught up. I mean,
yes, indeed.
Frisbee ain't worth it, bro. The frisbee is not worth it. Leave that frisbee alone. Go to the dollar store. Get another one, bro. That's all it takes. Go to the dollar store.
Get this, Bone. Florida man, he's a white guy, sets hospital bed on fire after nurse refuses to top him off.
Does he think he's a brothel? Like, he thinks a full service hospital? Like, what are you doing, bro? Like,
Do you think that they're really in a service? Like he probably took the title head nurse, like literally. He
yes.
Thought, oh, yeah, she's a head nurse. I don't know what that means. No, bro. He's a professional, bro. Professional.
Wow. This is a black woman bone. Naked Florida woman arrested after pouring ketchup on herself inside of TGI Fridays and shaking her groove thing at the bar. Saying, look at my nice caramel ass.
But she was naked already in the place?
Yes, yes.
So she entered it naked or she was like...
She came in and pulled off her clothes.
She came in?
Yes.
And they just like... Nonchalant, like sat her down and served her. Like, how did that work out? Like, you see the one coming in butt ass naked, and you just gonna let her come in and sit down on your seat and just serve them? Like, what's going on here?
It's Florida, man. What I can say?
And she's just a sister to that. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
See what I mean? See what I mean? I go on thinking that these stories are a certain ilk, and then I get shocked, man. I really get shocked.
Is this gonna shock you too? A black Florida man arrested after pooping in court after getting the wrong charge he didn't like.
Oh, wow. So he probably thought the system is crapping on him. But he's like going to show you what crap looks like for real.
Yes.
That's some protest, man. I mean, he had to know. All right, he probably just thought, that's already a lost cause. I'm going to do this bid. And now it's my last act of free man. Watch this and just drop a few. I mean, that's the only thing I think of that. He probably was already hopeless. He's like, you know what? I'm already through. Watch this.
Yes, man. Can't get no worse.
Boss.
This is a month worth of stories, people. We got more to go. This is a month worth of stories. I'm saving for Bone. A month worth of stories, people. Foreskin theft. Florida man activist protest lifelong loss of circumcision. What the hell?
He protested circumcision?
Yes. Multiple Florida men did. A group of 61 of them.
Wait, so are you already circumcised as a baby?
In Florida, it's optional.
Oh, so he was just like... That's his hill he's gonna die on. Circumcision, right? That's the hill that he's gonna fight for to the very end. He was real serious about that. He's real serious, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, this gets worse, Bone. Florida woman arrested after hitting naked boyfriend in the head with a bat after he went inside her too fast. Catch my drift, or he fired off too quickly.
Yeah, premature. Yeah, I mean,
got him back to the dome for that.
So, like, he just like threw off and then like went and got a bat.
Yes.
I mean, is he an older gentleman or a young cat?
His 30s.
His 30s. I mean, come on, Ma. It happens every now and then in your 30s, Ma. I mean, it's not like you're 18 again. You know what I'm saying? These ladies don't understand. You know, it happens every now and then. You know,
hell, for me, it happens. Yeah, if I ain't had it in a while, I'm going to fire off fast.
Yeah, and you know what? That's only round one. Who said it can't be a 12-round fight? So why not just give him a minute?
Yeah, and it's all going to be a fast first round. We ain't had it in a while.
Yeah, so it was a fast fight. But you know what? There's always round two. Let him recuperate. You know, let him go in the corner. You know what I'm saying? Work himself up again, and then go round two. How I stand that?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Florida woman, a black woman, ran naked around South Petersburg Park to escape a, quote, giant spider.
So why was she naked then in the first place?
Man, bro.
Is that last day? Like, was she already in bed and she saw a spider and broke out? Or, like, was she so scared she saw a spider that she got undressed and then ran out? Like,
I think that spider got undressed. That's what happened, probably.
But if you're that people in your life, you don't have time to get undressed, man. You got to break out and bounce. There's no time to get undressed if you're really in a crisis. You go as is. So if you're already dressed, why are you getting undressed first?
Crazy. Crazy. Hoo-wee. Oh, my God. Naked Florida man burglar busts in the Florida woman's home, pulls out his Johnson, pees on her, takes out her clothes, and rolls around her on the floor and inside out in her yard until he's apprehended.
He rolls around with her?
Mm-hmm.
Why did he roll around? So wait, he already peed on her. That means he's rolling on his own pee too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't get it. Peeing on someone, first of all, but then you're going to pee on them and then roll around in your own urine. That makes no sense, man.
None at all. I'll get this. Florida man trapped in unlocked closet with his girlfriend for 2 days. Really?
He was trapped in a closet.
But it was unlocked the whole time.
How do you like trapped in a closet? Is it for 2 days?
Yes.
So, after they're not eating and not drinking. And, if you were stuck in a closet with someone for that long, bathroom situation is probably not ideal. All the gas that come out your body for 2 days straight ain't ideal. So now you're in a fart coffin for 2 days. I don't get people. I don't get anymore. I don't get flirty in these new stories.
I don't get it either. Florida man carries blind t-shirt wearing gator into a key lime pie store for a treat.
Well, the gator is blind, so the gator is inefficient. The gator just can't walk in there and I'm blind and make an order. That makes sense, right?
It's Florida.
That makes Florida sense. Yeah, they tell them. Alligator can't see, officer. Alligator is blind. I'm the alligator aide.
But Vaughn, I have a weird question. How do you know if a gator was blind, though? How would you know?
Maybe, Florida litmus test. You put your hand in front of the gator's mouth, and the gator doesn't snap at you. Maybe the gator can't see. I guess that's how you do it down there.
I guess. Get this. Florida man, Stone Cold stuns man in Walmart looking at his girl's booty, saying, "You looked one too many times, my N-word.
Well, listen. When you have a nice booty on, a woman a nice booty on your arm, you should have that as a flag of pride, man. I mean, a look is a look. And one thing is he groped her or something, he grabbed her or something. He's just looking. He's admiring you. So I personally would wear that as a badge of honor. But you know what? That's right.
Man, oh man, here we go. 69-year-old Florida woman yells at passing vehicles before standing up, pulling down her pants, and urinating on the bench, saying, "Lick my twat."
Oh my God. That is vulgar. That's an image. And how old was she, 69?
Yes. White woman.
Of course. But I was, all right, that's not the point. But 69 years old, I can only imagine the visual. And then... And then to come out there and say what she said, man.
I saw the mugshot. She looks terrible.
If you got me 69 years old and do that, at least be like Pam Grier or Sophia Loren, something like that. You know what I'm saying? At 69, those women are still fine back in the day. But I can imagine what she looked like in that sight. I can imagine. I'm surprised that dude didn't crash her car.
Man, I would have shit. Woo-wee. Man. Five more to go, people. Florida man arrested after pouring beer into gator's mouth after enticing the reptile to bite his arm.
So, as a reward for not getting bit, he gets to do the beer?
Yes.
Is that what it is? So, like, you ain't bite my arm, gator. So, here's some natty ice. Right?
Pretty much.
As a reward for not biting him, he gets some nasty nice beer. Natty Ice as a reward. And I get it. I don't want this crap, man. From Natty Ice.
Exactly. Oh, God. Wow. Florida man arrested after punching vehicles as they drove past him.
Punching vehicles? Now, they were passing by him, and as they're passing by, he punched it?
Yes.
Why?
He had to be high.
Yeah, he had to be on that mess is strong, man. I mean, because one time, it's been a wrong car to punch, and the driver gonna stop his car at a full screech and come out there and just waylay that dude, man. My mama said, like, there's always gonna be that one time where you're doing wrong to the wrong person. Right? Mm-hmm. That one time. So all it takes is that one person, and you know, and it'll be the wrong one. And now what?
Foolish. Here we go. Drunk Florida man and wife jailed after tampon tossing melee in the parking lot of a Hobby Lobby.
Tampon tossing fight?
Yes.
I hope they were like fresh tampons, right? Out of the box.
I hope so.
Because that would turn to like a murder one case. If I'm getting slapped around with used tampons, you know, I'd rather get punched or kicked, man, than be waylaid with some used tampons, man. So I hope in that person's face that they're fresh out of the box, you know, out of the container kind of thing. Because if they're used, oh, man, God bless you.
Man, here we go. Florida woman arrested after using a wet tampon as a deadly weapon against the police. Right on cue, Bone. Right on cue.
See. I'm assuming that the offender wasn't one of us, right?
She was one of us.
She was?
Yes.
Wow, but she lived in Calabasas, though.
Barely.
So, I guess there is some progress in America. Where you can assault officers with used tampons and live as hell about it and be one of us. But still, at that moment, man, at the very least, you get tased. At the very least, you're going to get tased by me if I'm being offended by that. You're getting something done to you.
Yes. And last one is wet. The last story is one of us, too. You cannot believe this is a story, too, Bone. Last one. Naked Florida man, one of us, who shoved meat in his pants, gets tased in the genitals after peeing on two white cops.
Oh, yeah, man. At least he got tased. I mean, it could have been a lot worse, but why are Floridians in this episode so pee happy? Why are y'all peeing everyone so much?
And poop happy, too.
Yeah, they're poop, the steering poop and the peeing. Is it because Trump was there for a little bit? Because Trump, you know, is over peeing. Like what is that thing we're being peed on down there?
And farting in the middle of activities?
Yeah, I don't guess, North Florida. I mean, it's been a month away from y'all, and y'all didn't disappoint. Y'all did not disappoint at all.
So, Bowen, this is what you expected after a month of Florida stories that built up on you? This is what you expected to come back to?
Yeah, because somehow, at the first at bat, you hit a grand slam with the 17 counts against, including peeing on the girl's booty. That right there set the tone for this episode. It set the tone. It came hard. It came hard and strong today.
Yes, indeed. Well, folks, hope you enjoyed this week's show, The Boss Report. We'll be back next week, Boss and Bone. Hold it down into the coach who had the Harper beard. He's hired. You're going to get fired soon, if you know what I mean. Folks, out. And if you don't know, now you know.